is the 1895 podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
We are back. The shortest, longest off-season in Europe is finally over. The Reds return this Friday night with a trip to the RSC to face Waterford. And this week, bringing all the optimism, the narkiness, the insight, are the Cleary brothers. First up, Dazzler, hello.
Hello, Stephen. Hello, Ben.
Hola. Hello, gentlemen. How are we?
Oh, magic. I'm very good, Ben. I'm very good. Do you know why?
Why, Duty? Tell me why.
Because I nearly have my Fridays back. So close. So close. I can smell it. We're not that far finished, but Jesus, Fridays are grim, aren't they? They really are grim with no football. How are we? How's off-season been, Dazzler? You've been busy, signings out the door, people leaving, people coming in. Kept you on your toes, no doubt.
Yeah, but look, to be fair, Ben and yourself and Reggie, you've been central to the signings, Quiva as well, on the video side, so I've had a quiet enough off-season, or as quiet as you can get. There's been a lot going on, but it feels like one of those where nothing really stopped. Like, there was never a week where you went without hearing from someone at the club, because it ended on the 18th of December, and I think it was a couple of days and then straight back into it. So, yeah, it's been very busy, and to be fair, everyone has done their best to get some kind of an off-season, but look, no one's going to complain about the year we had last year. It was absolutely magical in every way. The only thing it was missing was a goal and 3 points in Europe.
Yeah, it's still, I didn't really want to talk about last year at all. And I'm not. That's done. It's been done. We're starting fresh. Ben, your dad's basically said there that you're running the show. Do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, no, definitely not. Sometimes it can be a bit easier. Obviously, Darren wouldn't be close enough in the off season. He likes to go and get as much of a break as he can. So if there's anything I can do this side of things, try and get it done. Duty, I gave you a shout for signings as well. We went down and eventually got into Tolka Park. Thanks, Andy Fitz. Idiot can't use a door.
Jesus. We are 2 minutes in and Ben is burying the world.
He's not lying. He's not lying. For some context here, because people are going to say, what are they bleeding on about? It was the signing of Mael Lundgren, I think, wasn't it, Ben? Yeah. I should know this because I interviewed the man. It was. I arrived down to find Ben and Andy Fitz just standing outside Tolka, like looking like lost groundhoppers that can't get in. And it turned out that Andy tried to put the key in the door and claimed that it didn't work when it did. Yeah. Because you said to me, Ben, oh, Duty, you drive a van, you go down and try.
Yeah, I was like, if anyone can do it, you can do it.
Yeah, and I got straight in. And then we had the pleasure of meeting Mael for the first time. It was the first time he'd been in Tolka. I think it was the first time he'd kind of been in person with a lot of people. So nice to be a part of that. Good fella. He was high standards off the bat, Ben. Hadn't he? Even with his interview, very, very high standards.
It's a little bit different, I suppose, but he just, obviously, one thing he flagged with us straight away, he's like, you're going to have to talk a bit slower. The accent, he's taking a little bit of getting used to. So he did his interview, and then he said, no, we'll just do it again, actually, just because I think I can be better than that. And I suppose that kind of trait is a good trait to have. Perfectionist, one who wants to always do better. So yeah. The almonds were good from the start.
I have to say, it threw me. It doesn't, yous will know better than anyone. It doesn't take much to throw me. But
yeah, no, when I saw him ask you again, all I heard of you was
See, all I heard was when we finished, he was like, was that okay? And I said, yeah, that was great. And then he said, no, I'd like to do it again. I think I could do a little bit better. And then from the far corner, all I could hear was, love that, love that. And it was our technical director, of course. So that threw me off as well, because I was kind of hoping somebody'd say, no, that was fine. We'll just leave it at that. But no, let's go through it again. And then because I wanted to give him the best chance, I wanted to try and ask him the same things again. But I had closed out my notes and they were gone forever. So yeah, good start. He was probably looking at me going, who is this idiot? But nevertheless, start as you mean to go on, Ben, huh? Okay. Dazler, look, let's go straight to the signings. The best way, it's the most exciting part of the off season. No, look, do you know what? We'll do the sad goodbyes first, I suppose, because from a supporter point of view, Dazler, a couple of maybe not surprises that have gone, but like Coyler, Connor Cairns, maybe not everyone would have seen those ones coming, but sad to see the lads go.
Yeah, I mean, they were such an integral part of what's happened over the last few years. Mark Coyle, club captain, Connor, goalkeeper of the year we won the league. Like, obviously, for different reasons, you know, it's they're big calls. And the last time we had a podcast, we talked about big calls and managers live and die by them. I'd rather a manager who makes the big calls and is brave enough to make them than sits on them and maybe being indecisive is actually worse than being decisive. So, like, you have a sentimentality to it because at the end of the day, if Shells don't win games, Stephen Doody, Ben Cleary and Darren Cleary don't get turfed out of the football club, that's Joey and that's everyone else. So they make their decisions not based on sentimentality or what someone's done in the past. It's what they see for them in the future. And they obviously made decisions about people. And it's always hard because, you know, brilliant servants for Shells, great fellas as well who really bought into it. I think every Shells fan who had the pleasure of chatting to Mark Coyle or Connor Cairns would have recognised they were good guys who really cared about what they were doing. It's always sad from a supporter point of view to see them go, but from a football point of view, like, I'd like to see a manager who's not afraid to make a big call like that. And like, it's Joey's first year in management. To come into your first year in management, your first pre-season, and send your goalkeeper out and send your club captain out, big, big call.
Yeah, I think sometimes people forget that, like, Joey's worked with the players for a good few years at this stage, so, like, he would have been maybe watching it differently to what even Damien Duff would have been or what the other staff would have been. I'm sure he's picked little things up along the way where he's kind of said, oh, no, I'd rather have a goalkeeper that can do this, or I'd rather have a midfielder that can do that, or whatever it might be. But as you say, big calls, you live and die by them. Like, I have to back it. Like, we haven't got much wrong up to now, so fire away, I say. Ben, you take the sentimentality out of it. Darren's mentioned there, like, sad to see Coyler and Cairns particularly because they were such a big part of it on the pitch and great fellas off it. Is there any sense of, like, nah, I don't think we should have done that? Or is it one of those ones that maybe you would have seen coming?
Oh, it's a bit of a strange one. I think, obviously, as Darren said and you said there, you take sentimentality out of it. You look at Coyler, obviously, had seen a reduced role a bit this season. He'd moved further back, been into the back three. Like, you speak to the players and they just say, yeah, I'm happy to be anywhere on the pitch. I just think, if you look at the quality that's come in midfield, in particular, Jack Henry Francis was big, big signing, I think, there. And we really saw his quality towards the tail end of the season and the European games. I think with Coyler, I didn't see him featuring maybe in that midfield. I thought it'd be very, very difficult to get into that midfield. And maybe just looking for a new challenge. And I think that's kind of what you have to look at.
Yeah, I think the style changed kind of as the years went on with Mark as well. Like, you know, I think he could fill a role up to a point, but I think with what we're kind of trying to do now, like, as you say, his game time's going to be limited. Like, Jack Henry Francis, Kerr, JJ, Evan Caffrey obviously was used more as like a midfielder.
Like, that midfield battle, it's impossible to pick any two. I don't really, wouldn't envy the manager making that choice. Like, it's just, there's so much quality, but as well as that, so many different personalities and the combinations that you could put in give you different quality in a game.
Yeah, we should mention as well, Orkin Healy, who, that's not an easy job. You dropped a clanger on here before, Ben, by saying it was the most important role in a football club.
I didn't drop a clanger. I stand by that. I've never once, like, backed down from that. A clanger is something you say that's really, really stupid. Yeah, you might have thought...
Oh, there'd be an argument there, I think.
I don't know.
What do you think the most important role of a football club is?
It's not the sub-goalkeeper.
So what is it?
The manager.
Okay, playing role.
Captain.
I don't know.
What I will say, right, and Ben, I don't disagree with you. I think if you have a kind of a whingy, narky fella who's going to do his best to hope the other chap fails, that's not going to work as a dynamic, because those people spend the most amount of time together in their little group, and you have to have a competitive edge without disliking each other. Larkin was a complete pro, and I felt very sorry for him, because when he came in against Carabag, I think two of the goals didn't look great, but they weren't his fault. I think he didn't put a foot too much wrong, and he was probably a little bit unlucky that he didn't get an extended run in the team for obviously Mark Coyle and Connor Kearns, like the age they're at. Like, Connor hasn't played for the guts of a year. Like, he hasn't played since last summer against Pats when the calf went, the other calf went, or hamstring went. I'm not sure which one it was, but like, he's at the age where he needs to play and get back to his form, get back to what made him the best keeper in the country in 24. Mark Coyle as well. Like, he was a league winning captain 2 years ago. To go from that to maybe, I don't disagree with what either is, they're saying maybe he wouldn't have been a starter this year, considering that we've shored up the defence, brought in Casey, and maybe like his options in midfield were limited. I think it's a decent thing to do. Two lads at the age they are now to be able to say, look, you need to play, and if you're not going to play much here, well, let's do something. Let's move on. So, you know, it's one of those where it was done professionally. It was handled well. There's, like, you don't see any real bitterness from either the lads. You don't see any kind of rants on Instagram or Facebook. Like, I think that's football. They understand that sometimes the journey ends, and 99% of the time it's not on your terms. It's on the manager's terms. And it happens for everyone. It was the famous Duffer saying, time waits for no man. You know, when your number's up, it's up.
Yeah, and I've oddly found myself following the Northern Irish League, which I never would have done before. But like that, I like the fact that lads move on, and there's no bitterness there towards them. I'd like to think they don't have any bitterness towards the club itself. Obviously, it's not nice to move on, but me slagging Ben kind of got in the way of what I was trying to say about Larkin Healy there, that he was always in good form, as you say, Dazzler, about being like, you know, it can be very disruptive. He was nothing of the sort.
But dude, he was really, and I will say, a really calming presence. Like, it happened, obviously, unfortunately, with Connor, where he did pick up those knocks. When Larkin came in, you didn't turn around and say, oh, no.
No, and I think that's something else that, like, Larkin's a good goalkeeper. No, it's not like he was some bin man we had sitting on the bench just in case.
Harry Fitz.
Yeah, exactly. But that's like, that's the comparison you'd make. And like, Larkin, when he was called on, came in and had some big moments, had some big saves. So again, I don't know whether Larkin will end up in the league. Going by the amount of work he's doing at the moment, probably not. But I hope whatever he does do works out well. Other departures, kind of notably, probably Lewis Temple, because he's left for a fee. Raya Ford, the same. And all these young lads out on loan. Ben, it's very weird. Shells is like a professionally run football club these days. It's a bit mad, isn't it? Getting young lads signed to contracts and loaning them out. Who would have thought that could be a blueprint to follow?
Yeah, it's definitely it's a new one. I think it's a really important step into where we want to go as a football club and where football wants to go in this country as a whole. Like, you need that level of, you know, we're not a good club. We're not here for a jolly up, as I say, in Europe. Like, we're actually building towards being a sustainable contender. Like, our academy players are assets. There's loans there as pathways to either the first team or, as you said, moving on as a fee. We have infrastructure put in place. Like, Tolka, it's not been a knockdown and we'll throw up something else and instead in a short space of time. There's actual planning going into it. It's done bit by bit. The AUL, like, there's a lot of really positive things happening, and I think that's really starting with the academy.
Darren, those young lads going out on loan, is this litmus test stuff for them? Is this like, you need to go out and light the first division up, or else, you know, we mightn't have a place for you here? Is it as cut and dry as that, do you think? Or is there maybe a bit more to a loan move than that?
No, I think it's a bit more nuanced. Like, I don't think you need to be the best player in the first division to have a good loan spell. And the two that come to mind are Jack Moylan at Wexford in his first year before he joined us. Like, you know, he was raided, but at the same time, he was let go by Bowes and seen as, yeah, this lad isn't going to work out, hasn't worked out, won't work out. And he had an unbelievable time with us. He's been brilliant now when he's fit in Lincoln. I think he's, what, scored 4 goals in 3 games or something mental.
Yeah, and, he's 4 and 5 and an assist.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have said, like, gee, it wasn't like, you know, some of the lads who have become the best player in the First Division over the years that just scored. Like, it wasn't like a Colin Whelan. People weren't talking about Moylan in the same way. He was just kind of unassuming, went about his business, did really well, played consistently. And Lewis Temple was the same, oddly enough, when he went to Wexford as well. So I think you don't necessarily need to go out there and do something majestic. You don't need to, you know, win the league, get promotion with a small club to do something. I think you just need to be solid, putting in 8 out of 10 every week, staying in the team, growing as a person, growing as a player, staying out of trouble, not doing anything stupid. And I think it'll stand to them well. Like, James Roach is one where, and Dan Ring, you'd probably wonder, would they be ready to hang around? But lads at that age really need to be playing every week, because that's how they'll actually either make or break at this level. And think if they're going to play 2, 3, 5 games this season for Shells, no way, that's stunting their growth. So, like, I saw a few kind of, not necessarily quibbles, but like, oh, we have a light squad, why are we sending so many lads away? Because that's how you make assets out of those lads, either for us for next season or for other clubs. Like, we had the same stuff. People was like, oh, Chad and Ryan O'Kane, why are they going? Because realistically, when we let them go, they weren't good enough to start or play for us.
Yeah, that's fair. I think the Ray of Forwin going to Derby, that, I've seen a few people griping about that online, about, oh, why wasn't he in the first team? Why wasn't he playing? Like,
he wasn't ready.
That's, you're taking the words out of my mouth. Sometimes it's because a young lad's a prospect does not mean he is ready to go straight in and play League of Ireland first team football. You could kill a kid's career off doing stuff like that. So just trust.
One thing that's really important, Dudie, and it's always stuck out to me, is I think it was when you interviewed Chuck and you talked about that step up coming over here, and he just, all he spoke about was, yeah, it's men's first team football. And I think that's the big difference between your week in, week out with the 20s and these loans. I think getting those reps in every week, as Darren said, being in and around the team, first team football, like men's full contact, that's exactly what they need. And they wouldn't have probably gotten that here.
Can I just say on Ray of Four, he's a very impressive young fella. I haven't seen him play much football, but the way he carried himself in Celje, he was on that European trip and he was a sponge, right? And at every meal, on every bus trip, he sat beside someone different and he asked them a million questions. And he was just trying to soak up and learn as much as possible. And you could see he really just was interested and cared. And I ended up sitting in front of him on one of the trips and he spent a good 45 minutes just grilling Milan and Bang on everything, just everything football related, everything related to his position, everything related to how he trains, how he plays, how he minds himself. And I've never actually seen a young lad like that or been around. Usually they're kind of quiet and timid, and if there's other young lads there on a trip, they'll keep to themselves. He was going around trying to soak up as much as he possibly could at every opportunity, and I just thought it was very impressive.
That's class. It should be said, though, like, and to give kind of credit where it's due with the academy stuff, all of the young lads that come up and are kind of floating in around the first team are all nice lads. Like, they're all very, I was about to say mannerly, that makes it sound like they're in school, but you know what I mean? Like, there's none of them that kind of come up playing the Charlie, anything like that. They're all just grounded. They get on with their stuff. And as you say, like, don't be surprised if Ray Afar ends up having a good career, because that's kind of how you get there. It's that type of stuff. Look, let's get to the ins, because that's the real exciting stuff. Who, Dazzler, is your, who's been the best signing for you? I will list them off in a minute, but I just want to get your immediate reactions to them.
Happy to bring in a defender.
You going on Casey?
Yeah, I'm going to go Casey. I think that's one that is, like, for what he's achieved in a very short space of time, for how highly he's regarded, for how mature he is, but at the stage of his career, like, usually to get a centre-half with that much experience, you need someone who's 28, 29, but he's only a kid. So I think that's a really, really big sign, and that's an area where, look, last year we were light. Last year we gave away an awful lot of bad goals. We were patched together at times. Paddy had a long spell out on the sidelines. Mark deputised. So I think that has the potential to be a game changer, as does the signing of Spiel. Again, on loan, I think is massive.
Ben, any, like, what was your kind of reaction as the signings are coming in?
I think for me, definitely coming out of the season, I was like, the two profiles I'd be looking at, what we needed was kind of like, again, as Darren said, kind of like an organiser, a controller, someone who kind of is able to step in to the defence and kind of reduce the chaos, maybe improve that late game control. So I think Casey is a big, big sign. And I knew how impressive he was. Obviously, you read stuff, but I was getting texts off lads that we dealt with from Linfield saying, here, you've got a player in your hands there. Like, they probably watched a lot more than a lot of people. So when people reach out of nowhere just to tell you you're in good hands, I think that's always a good sign. And one thing I was really hopeful for was kind of a difference maker attacker, someone who can turn draws into wins, you know, set piece delivery, one-on-one, someone to get your arse off a seat. And I think Mael, by all accounts, could fit that profile. So I think that's another big one for us.
Yeah, I got to see the second Bowles game on that awful Saturday. Jesus Christ. I think the AUL is a miserable place to watch football. By God, the Oscar trainer is even worse. But it pissed out of heavens for literally the whole game. But Mael is like, he has that, you know, that thing where somebody gets a ball and you kind of go, ooh, what's he doing? He's just very quick across the ground.
But kind of gliding around the place.
Yeah, but not like flashy either, if that makes sense. Just kind of the amount of times he just get the ball down, he'd go past somebody and get across into the box. Like, kind of, there's a bit of old school winger in him, I think. But like, I asked him in the interview that time, Ben, he said, like, I'm an attacking player. Like, I love to dribble and I love to score. So here's hoping, like, you know, that's the more that, the better.
Can I give you a similar to Ben's story, a little nudge on Mael? When we were dealing with the club he was signing from, it was obviously coming up to around 22nd, 23rd, 24th when that was getting over the line. And we were trying to obviously arrange, and the way it works is you agree a time between the clubs that suits them to announce he's leaving and suits to arrive, and ideally exact time to the minute. And we had a time we wanted to announce him, get him into Talca, get the jersey, the whole lot. And they were having none of it because it was too close to Christmas Eve. And their exact words was, the departure of Mael will come as a bad Christmas gift for our supporters. So they really liked him. He was very, very well thought of. I kind of asked, like, what's the sus there? He's a good player. What's going on? Very good player, very appreciated by our fans. On a good day, he's incredible. Will win your game by himself. He didn't really enjoy his stay at us because we're a small town in the middle of nowhere, far away from where he's from. I think Dublin will really suit him. So,
oh, he just got me very excited there, Dazzler.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm sure you've gotten all the listeners very, very excited by that one. What I found interesting with him, Ben, was during the interview, like, he's 24, so he's, you know, he's not a kid. He's been around, but he said he's never played in a derby match.
Yeah, I found that a bit strange. And I think that's going to be a real test for him because he will be booed out of the place every time he touches the ball.
Why he goes to Daily Mount? Daily Mount after a late Kerr McEnroy winner. See how he handles that one.
The tunnel turns into the hills of eyes.
Oh, I can't wait to go back there.
The Daily Mount Chainsaw Massacre. The derbies are a game changer. I remember Harry Wood made his debut against UCD. He looked all right against UCD. the next week he came on against Bowes, and Michael, he looked like, you know that meme of the soldier that just has a sunken eyes?
Yeah.
He just looked like that, like the game was passing him by. And I remember, I think I said it to you, Ben, like, geez, he's gone back on the first plane to Hull. Like, he doesn't like it here at all. This
I was sending him back after UCD. I said it to duty.
Ah, yeah. First of all, the size of his boots really threw me off. It's like, there's no way is he a size 11. There's not a hope. And he just walked around. Do you remember everyone was kind of, as they do their pitch walk or whatever, and everyone's kind of in little groups yapping. He just walked off on his own. Then when he was meant to be warming up during the game, he was just kind of walking up and down the touchline. But as time's gone on, that's just the way Harry is.
Yeah, like he realized that that's just him.
Yeah, like it's not like an arrogance thing. It's not, oh, I don't want to talk to anyone. Far from it. I think he wants to talk to everyone. But he's he can H keep up the levels he was at last year, because like last year he was unplayable in Europe domestically. Particularly when Joey took over, Harry just went to another level altogether. Can he keep it up?
He's still at the club.
So.
That's the main thing, isn't it?
Let's hope so. Another mention for actually Sean Moore, because I think he's going to be like a, it's cliche, I know, but like a new signing, because we haven't, many appearances has Sean made so far? Very few. He's been really unlucky with injury. So another body that, like, I think people will be surprised by the level that he's actually at. And I think the one that most people, these kind of signings always get people very, like, excitable. Rodrigo Freitas, Dazzler, what is going on? Signing lads from Portugal, like, what's, I don't know, that one completely threw me for a loop.
Yeah, but I think it's well documented that data analysis, science, that's become a big part of player recruitment. Obviously, Shell's a partner with Jamestown Analytics. We're the only club they work with in the League of Ireland. The whole point of having someone like Jamestown Analytics is that if everyone has it, it won't work. So they'll partner with one club. They've done brilliant things with the likes of Hearts, Union Saint-Gallois in Belgium.
Do you want to try that again?
Go on.
I'm asking you. Try again.
No, I tried it.
Go on, sorry.
Do you know how to say it?
No.
Grand. Well, I'll stick with Union Saint-Gallois.
Saint-Gallois, I think, is what you're looking for. Oh, but go on.
Dude, you don't even start me. Don't start. I've lost my train of thought now. I hope you're happy.
They're only dealing with us in the league. That's correct. Their kind of MO, yeah.
So they'll find players that would be aligned to our style of play, the type of player. Like, they found Norris after Tyreek got injured, and Chuck basically looked a little bit like Tyreek. He played a little bit like Tyreek. He had the same build as Tyreek, the same pace as Tyreek. Like, the magic of the algorithm is they will find you the pieces to put together your puzzle. And I'm hoping that's what Rodrigo is.
Oh, it's effectively like using the filters on Football Manager.
Yeah, pretty much.
Except the only difference between Chuck is he has the world's longest arms.
Ah, it's insane. He's like the old Ozzy Osbourne out Bo Selecta. And I promise you, anyone that's listening to this, you will not be able to unsee that when I've said it to you. I have written down here, what do we need to do differently on the pitch next season to get the league title back? Ben, very easy. Go on, you take that one.
I don't know, dude. I'm not on the pitch.
We're here to waffle, Ben. So now is your time. It's your time to waffle. What let us down last year? Where were we really kind of...
Running draws into wins. For me.
Fair. Dazzler, anything to add to that?
Poxy goals.
I have written down, stop giving away shit goals.
Yeah, like the annoying thing is we worked so hard to score really good goals, and then we concede the lousiest, most... piddlers.
Going off someone's arse.
Yeah, they were brutal. So I think stop conceding poxy goals, stop giving away cheap goals, and we'd be right in the mix. Like, this, the thing is, I think last year nearly suited us in some ways, in that people would have thought, Shells fell off. If you actually watched our games, we dominated nearly every game we played. Like, there wasn't a game you looked at and said, geez, we've been completely outclassed here, we're in trouble. Like, there were very few poor performances last year, but an inordinate amount of very bad goals. Like, you look at that Carabao game over the two legs. That wasn't as far away as the scoreline suggests. You look at the goals we gave away in the two games that we lost in Tala. Again, Palace aside, we're not as far away, you know?
No, and like, I know it's easy to make comparisons, but look what Carabao have gone on to do this year. Like, if anyone is going to, like, that Carabao tie should be the measuring stick for, like, we had them. Like, for a large period of that game in Tolke, we had them. Like, we really looked like the better team. And, like, that, I think, if that's not a sign of how far along the group is, I don't know what would be. Just
clinical.
That's,
clinical.
Yeah, yeah.
Lipo and John Martin, I don't want to name names, right? Because they would want to score more than I would want them to score. But and in the melting pot, when the game is right there to be won and lost, we missed two, I'm not going to say open goals, but they were gilt-edged chances that I think if we go ahead in both of those games, I think we win one or two of them. Particularly those European games, at just critical times, we missed big chances. So, not to use cliches, but be more clinical in both boxes.
Yeah, like I have a really terrible memory, like really, really bad. And I sat last night and just tried to think, because I always say about we give away poxy goals, and then I'm saying, like, do we? Or is that just one of these things that people say with no real foundation? But off the top of my head, I was able to think of when we lost away to Drogheda, the mix-up between JJ and Spiel. When we drew a home to Bowles, Lewis Temple, remember he fucking basically passed into his own net.
Oh, gosh.
Bowles away, Coyler's brain fart to give away the penalty and get sent off.
Cam had a few as well, dude.
Yeah, Conor Kearns had a clanger at home to Waterford. Away to Derry, I think, was it Sam Bone and the keeper maybe had a mix-up? And we gave away a goal from a corner in that game. Galway away, we drew that game because we gave away a poxy goal from a corner. Like, they were just off the top of my head ones that I thought of. So it sounds very simple, but if you cut them out, we've got a great chance. So, right, I listened back to last year's season preview, Ben, and I sent you a voice note about it the other night. We're not going to do league predictions because it's just,
nobody cares.
It's mundane. Yeah, it's stupid. It doesn't mean anything. What we will do is a couple of like little in-house predictions. So Ben, I want your top scorer, your Shell's top scorer. Don't mind the rest of the bin men around the league.
But, give it Rodrigo.
Going heavy.
Yeah, go on. No pressure.
Why not? Dazzler.
Harry Wood.
Ooh, I actually had Harry, but I'm going to go for Juan Martin because of his mustache.
Well, Ben invented that gimmick, so Ben.
That's a scandal.
That's actually my Reggie Winder buff.
No, let's do it now.
Now on to the liars.
That was the most bald faced attempt at just stealing somebody else's gimmick.
That's a disgrace.
Ridiculous. That started, I can't remember the specific away trip, Ben, but correct me if I'm wrong, you put all the Shell's players' names into ChatGPT and basically said, make them Spanish.
Essentially, yes. And it was going to be a segment for a player interview, like just an icebreaker thing of which one of these teammates is your teammate but in Spanish. And Juan Martin, for some reason, went, because I read out the list for you. When I got to Juan Martin, you lost your shit.
Because it's hilarious. But then it's popping up on the League of Ireland social media pages. What's going on there?
And I'm pretty sure we said that in group chats, duty, so that could be seen.
Oh, well, you're right.
The other thing is, I think Juan Martin himself is guilty of gimmick infringement because he's actually grown a mustache for the gimmick.
I love it. Look.
You know the way, was it Aubameyang used to whip out a mask when he scores? Can we have a little like sombrero for John?
Oh, God, I love that. I love that. Like Facundo Sava, that used to play for Fulham, he used to whip out a little Zorro mask. Yes, something along those lines. Or just a little Mexican flag or something. I don't know. Or Spanish flag, rather. Something along them lines. I am going to go Juan Martín, though. I think I really like John. I think we'll rotate a lot up there. So look, everyone will probably chip in. Same as last year, but didn't really have anyone like sticking out as such goals wise. That's actually go on, sir, Ben. Sorry.
To piggyback off Darren's, I do still think Rodrigo, but I think Harry'll hit 10 league goals this season. Nine last year.
Yeah,
it's a real motivating factor. Like, I think you obviously want to get to double digits, so I think he'll want that this season, I'd imagine.
100%. He wants the stats.
The other thing about Harry Wood is, right, his levels went just through the roof in the summer. Like, he went from having a good season to a brilliant season. If he can replicate that all season, that's player of the year territory, not at Shells, but PFAI player of the year stuff. Because he was just unplayable. Like, do you remember when we were leaving in Chicago? I can't remember. Was it the... We won. What score was it? We're leaving in Chicago anyway, and Forrester turned to Wood as you're leaving. It was a story you turned into prime fucking Zidane.
And yeah.
He was dead serious. Like, so yeah, I think Harry Wood could turn into prime fucking Zidane.
Never know. He won't get rid of the hair, though. He won't get rid of the hair. There's no chance. I'm seeing an awful lot of stuff, right? And I listened to all the previews this week and all the various League of Ireland podcasts and all the rest of it. I tend to listen to them at this stage just to see what other people are thinking about Shells. And the amount of people that are saying, oh, they don't have a goal scorer. They don't have somebody that's going to knock in, you know, a 20-goal-a-season striker. Because nobody does.
Doesn't exist anymore.
No, it's gone. Because I'm sad, I actually sat down and went through from when the league changed to summer football. There is no correlation between winning the league and having the top goal scorer. None. I think twice out of the last 10 years or something like that.
Who was the last 20 goal scorer?
I don't know, but the last time a player, like only twice in the last 10 years, has the league winners also had the top goal scorer.
Happens. 2013, Danny North.
There you go. Like, it just doesn't exist. And this is probably me just trying to swing it in a positive way, but are you not better off, like, Meepo last season, think he got 8 in the league, something like that? John Martin, I know, got 7 in the league.
H had 9, Meepo had 8, John Martin had 7.
Yeah, and you would expect, hopefully, if Boydie stays injury-free, he will also pitch in. Would you not rather have your goals spread?
But Ali Coote, I think, had 5. Kerr had 4. Like, there was a...
Yeah, but like, if you... Like, Paul Gammon won it last year. Won the Golden Boot last year. What happens if he gets injured? Waterford are goosed. They'll never score another goal in history, ever, the way things went last year. So stop panicking about not having a quote-unquote 20-goal-a-season striker. It doesn't exist. Who cares? It doesn't matter.
I think it's one of them football cliches people say to make them sound like they know about football.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
And they don't have a 20-goal-a-season.
I'm out this year to quash all them stupid, lazy football takes. It's the same as, the best defence wins the league. It doesn't. Sometimes it does, but it doesn't always.
The team that wins the most games. Think of the most points.
Yeah, it's a complete, like, there's no pattern to say, yep, you'll win a league if you have the best defence. Yeah, you have a better chance, but doesn't guarantee you anything. Same way, scoring the most goals doesn't guarantee you. It just doesn't work like that. People are stupid. It's fucking nonsense. Silly
Thanks,
stuff.
Judy. Great.
Some good news actually out today. Dazzler again talking about off the pitch, like the club moving on. Virgin Media, the official broadband partner. Shelburne Football Club. That's... Didn't ever think I'd read that sentence.
Well, not in Ben's house because his internet's not
well,
quick Ben, get on to Virgin.
I'll be getting on to them.
I wouldn't mind. I just actually renegotiated my Virgin package the other day before this deal. I would have waited if I'd have known I could try pull a stroke, but yeah, it's great. Look, it's the main thing is the club is moving in the right direction, like hiring of a COO, brilliant. Nicola Coffey coming in from South County Dublin, Talla Stadium. Fantastic appointment, hiring of a full-time ticket manager. I know a lot of people have talked about ticketing. It's such an important role. Like, the club, in every way you'd measure, is going in the right direction. It feels like we don't have any more old gills at Shells. Like, you know, these kind of nervous, harmless ham fellas who mean well, but like, they're not going to inspire you or really be enthusiastic. There was a time for them. They were brilliant. But now there's professionals around the place. There's people who are like elite at what they do and like the best in the business at what they do, rather than I like Shells, I'll help out. And I think that really benefits us. Like, it's a tricky time for a football club, kind of transitioning between off the pitch, I mean, like full-time, volunteer-led into, you know, more professional structures. But it's been managed really well, and credit to Mossy Quinn, Neil Doyle, everyone behind the scenes, the board, Mickey, Brian McGovern, because they're doing a brilliant job at running it and going about their business quietly and efficiently.
Jeez, if that trend of bringing in more professional people to fill roles keeps going, I'm goosed. I'm going to be out of my ear.
We're all fucked.
We're all going to be all the alert.
Oh, you mentioned there, Dazzler, just about Neil Doyle and Mossy Quinn and stuff like that. The fans forum was last week. Was it last week? Yeah, I don't know. All these rainy days just meshing into one at this stage. Not the usual kind of high turnout. Look, the weather was so, so bad, so probably put it down to that. Also, we're in quite a good position, so there's less need for people to kind of show up and give out because things are, on the whole, quite good. I did sit down with first Pearl and Sean Russell and then Paddy Barrett and Joey O'Brien after that. Sean Russell, I think, carried himself very, very well. He just wants to win. I think that came across very obviously. It's just all about winning. It's about winning the league. It's all he wants to do. It's all he's interested in. And look, I'm sure everyone's in the same boat, but to be that blunt about it, I appreciated it. Joey O'Brien came out with a big shout, Ben. And it's not, he's not the first person that's had it, because somebody else from within the club said this to me at one of the preseason games. That person said, Jack Henry Francis will be the PFAI Player of the Year. And Joey O'Brien at the fans forum said that Jack Henry Francis is a future Ireland international. High praise from a man who's played international football for Ireland. So is that the levels we're at now? Is that what we're dealing with?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the levels that we're at, and that's what we should be aspiring to be. You look at the quality of opposition we played across the European run, and there was a number of players that didn't look out of place, and Jack was definitely one of them. Like, he was just, like I said it to you when he was signed, and you obviously got to speak to him when he came in. He wasn't 100%. It was like, when he is 100%, he is a game changer, and that's exactly what he did in some of those games. He just, the way he controlled the game, he can drive forward. He's so good at, he's just so calm. Like, any kind of pressure around him, like, there's been times where I've turned to you, I was like, he's three people around him and he's walked past him with the ball.
And the insane part about Jack is, like, he only had half a season, less than half a season really, because he was injured. So, I mean, the best is yet to come from him. There's no doubt about that. Look, let's go for, look, we'll just have a word for Watford on Friday first. We're not going to try and pick 11s because, as me and Ben always say, it's a complete waste of time. Yeah. But this is a bit of a dodgy game, isn't it? Dazzler, like, John Daly's gone in there. They've signed, on paper, they've signed quite well, but they really struggled last year. It's a weird place down there. Like, they can turn very quickly. Are these the kind of, like, shite games that come the end of the year you could be looking back at and going, ah, we should have won that game? Or is there a sense of just feeling it out at this stage?
Yeah, I think I'd be surprised if the game happens, to be honest. The weather's meant to be wet and wild in Waterford, so the curse of the Shells opening day of the season and something dramatic happening could strike for the second year in a row. But yeah, it's like, I think if a start that involved winning six of our first seven games ultimately was vital to winning the league in 2024, I think you need a very, very strong start. I think this is an opportunity for a very, very strong start. You're not looking to do anything other than get out of there with 3 points. Any win will do. Clean sheet and a lousy 1-0 on a miserable night would be the dream start.
Oh, it'd be fantastic. Ben, any concerns about this Waterford outfit? Like, are you looking at them going, geez, we're definitely dealing with a better team than last year? Is it going to be much the same? Do you know and do you care?
Don't know, don't care, but I will answer. Look, as you've said, they've recruited well on paper, but unfortunately you can't play a football match of paper.
So we'll see how they turn up on the pitch. Obviously, there's a change there in the back room, so you just don't really know what to expect.
Yeah, fair. We've actually had a slight change. I should mention that now. James Toner is now part of the first team squad. Joey mentioned that at the fans forum. And our good friend Davey McAllister is now the assistant manager, which is probably the most obvious progression, but still, I like it. I back it. More Davey Mac antics on the touchline for me this season. Thank you very much. Let's do our Richie Rankins. Dazzler, start us off positive. Give me your Richie Baker. Actually, because the first part of the season, I should explain. The Richie Baker is the all-round good person, good company. You want to be around them. They've done something good. They've helped the Reds in some kind of way, or they've just done something we've enjoyed during the week. The Richie Winter, on the other hand, is somebody who takes sweets from kids.
Figuratively.
Ruins cup finals. And it's just generally not who you want to be associating yourself with. Dazzler, your Richie Baker, please.
I'm going to give my Richie Baker to a Richie, and I'm going to give it to Richie Towell.
I've robbed it, you bastard.
Who's managed to piss off every single person in Dublin 7 with a mere statement of fact. And the best part was just forcing Dan Lambert into replying to him. It's majestic, it really is.
But what a face turn.
Unbelievable. I'm going to give a co-Richie Baker as well. I'm going to give Sean Russell a vote because... I wasn't at the fans forum, but by all accounts he acquitted himself very well. It is a bit ridiculous in this day and age that people go to a fans forum and ask, why isn't my favourite player still a Shells player? Like I said at the start of the pod, give me a manager who will make a big call at the end of the day in 6 months' time. If he gets it right, he'll look like a genius, and you'll be wrong. If he gets it wrong, absolutely gloat and then have a go then. But at the end of the day, it's a bit premature to judge him. You don't have to like the decisions that Sean Russell's made, but I would imagine whether players like him or not, they'll definitely respect him after he walks in and makes those big calls. So I'm going to give it to Richie Towell for boiling an inordinate amount of urine in Dublin 7, and Sean Russell for just saying how I pick my team is just up to me.
Yeah, and I mentioned that earlier, you mentioned there, Sean did conduct himself very well, and he actually said that in the interview. He said, look, I know I'll be judged on whether we win the league or not. So I like it. He was just very upfront, very blunt, very honest. Got a lot of time for it. Just on the Richie Towell, he was also my Richie Baker. Not only did he piss off everyone in Finsbury by saying Daily Mount's Kip, which it is, like loads of grounds are Kips. It's not an attack on you or your children or your family. It's just a statement of fact, as you said. He also pissed off Pats and Derry supporters by basically saying they were always easy to play against. He said, like, you never really felt like you were in a game when you played Pats. That's so insulting for a professional footballer to effectively be told, you're a bit soft to play against.
Well, I just don't understand why Bows aren't proud of the fact, like, Richie Tell saying, I'd never bring my daughters to Daily Mount. Daily Mount is a horrific place to go to for opposition. I imagine it's a horrific place to go to if you've played for Shamrock Rovers. Why would they be surprised that he wouldn't go there in a million years? Like, if I was a Bowles fan, I'd be unbelievably proud that everyone hates the place and thinks it's a kip and can't stand going there. That'd be fucking badge of honour.
Spoken like a true, hardened, weathered Shelburne fan there. Ben, you're a Richie Baker.
I'm going to give my Richie Baker to Evan Caffrey. Due to you pointing me towards the squad portraits on Sportsfile.
Yes.
And one of Evan's was the John Cena, you can't see me, and it just popped me. I was going through it. I was like, that's hilarious. I just really enjoyed it, and I hope he breaks it out. I love when he does his wrestling celebrations.
Yeah, a niche market, but for those that know, they know. My,
again, I hope he does the Mae Young Royal Rumble 2000 celebration.
If anyone gets that reference, you're out of pint.
That is niche. I will buy a pint for the first person to DM me that reference.
Oh god, that's great. That's really good. I've enjoyed that. My Richie Baker, as I said, was Richie Towell. My Richie Winter, it's going to be a large portion of the Pats fan base. Reason being, they have not stopped in the off season giving out about the game in the Aviva. Here's a mad idea, right? A mad idea. if you're going mad about the price you have to pay, or like that, oh, we have to go there, it should be for cup final, should be careful this, that, and the other, just don't go. Just don't go. Don't support your team. That's your business. But the constant whinging and moaning is just so tiresome. Anyone can do it. Anyone can have a game in the Viva. That's Bo's prerogative. Leave them at it. But Jesus Christ, get over it. You know what's happening. If you don't want to go, don't bleed and go. Don't give them your 25 quid or whatever amount of money it's going to cost. Just don't bother. It's fine. It's all right. Nobody really cares. It's not that big a deal. Don't bother your haul.
Well said.
No, my apologies.
I agree.
Where were we? Richie Winters. We've all gone, have we?
My Richie Winters, Stephen Kenny, for canceling his holiday because Pats are shy of football.
To go and learn off people who are under him while he was the Ireland manager.
Oh, then I got it away for it. See Keith Andrews for a week. It reminded me of that scene in The Simpsons when Homer's under the table and he's too ashamed to come out for breakfast. And Marge asks him, what's he want for breakfast? He's like, I don't deserve breakfast. Ah, Stephen, can't you go 5 minutes without being an absolute altar boy?
Oh, yeah, I've enjoyed that. The Simpsons reference, we've had Attitude Era wrestling references. This has been a good season opener, definitely. Ben, your little logo's turned orange. Are you there? Oh, Ben's not there.
Uh-oh.
I don't think Ben's there. Oh, Ben's back. Ben, you're back. Ben? No, I think he's gone. Ben might be Dust Dazzler, unfortunately.
Well, I'm sure if Ben was here, he'd give his Richie Winter to, I don't know, the fellow who likes videotapes.
Ooh. Oh, I have no comment to make. Dazzler, thank you very much for being here. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Is Ben back? Ben? No, hello, Ben.
I think Ben's gone. I think he's gone, unfortunately. Ground, oh, he's turned orange again.
Major Ben.
No, he's gone. All right, Dazzler, I'm going to try and tie it down now. Is this what it's going to be going forward? Are we now officially a three-man boot?
You are Jerry the King Lawler. A big thank you, of course, to our new broadband partner, who are not Ben's broadband provider, should be noted. You are Jerry the King Lawler. That would make me... but no, you're Jim Ross.
Yeah, so who's the third man? They didn't do three-man boot.
Coach. It's coach there.
Oh, Jesus, that's grim.
You're the coach.
That's very grim. Right, Dazzler, thank you very much. I will say goodbye on behalf of Ben because his internet has fecked him out again. But we will see everyone on Sunday. It's good to be back. Dazzler, say the line.
Have a great day tomorrow. Up the Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.